Welcome to Talkin' Music. I'm Corey Stanton, and I am here in the Bamboo Room with Erica Tucheri, and she is a flute player. I'm curious how you want to be addressed.
Sure. I guess a musician, but the technical, if you're in America, they say flutist, but if you're in England, they say flautist. So I'll take it anyway. Yeah, flutist, composer, performer, improviser.
Yeah, I bet. And you're from Melbourne.
Yeah.
Australia. What brought you out to Western Colorado?
I came to take part in the Elsewhere Artist Residency, which is, it's been fantastic. I've been here for a few weeks now. And it's just such a wonderful opportunity to have time and space just dedicated to just working uninterrupted, you know, nothing else to bother you. And also, you know, to be in such a beautiful place and such a really sort of close-knit community surrounded by mountains, you know. It's been a real pleasure getting to know the town and getting to know the people. And definitely, I think, influences what I've been doing while I've been here as well. Yeah.
That'll be interesting to hear how maybe your music evolves. Maybe you've been inspired a little bit by our valley here.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
What other instruments have you played and what made you decide the flute?
I played piano from when I was really little. I did about a year of violin, but my dad still makes fun of me about that. But drums was my favorite, for sure. I picked that up in high school and played it for years. But when it came time to choose which instrument I wanted to do, my teachers were like, oh, you should do flute because that's the easiest one to, like, I don't know, get a good score on or something. And that was honestly, like, that's what did it for me, which it's kind of like, I don't know how that sits with me now. I don't think that's the best way to be approaching life or learning, or, you know.
But you've obviously stuck with it.
Yeah, it definitely stuck. I would say that I'm definitely a musician first, and the flute happens to be the thing that I'm maybe the most comfortable on and able to express what I want. But often I'll compose at the piano, or whenever I go for a walk, things always pop in my head. I'm always singing into my phone. So there's a lot of really bad singing voice memos.
Is the flute kind of like your voice?
In a way. I mean, there are some, I think I brought a few tracks in today. There's some stuff there that doesn't have any flute on it. But I feel like I can really express whatever I want to express on the flute. And I have a connection with it that I don't have with other instruments, in that there's no barrier. Like, you know, I don't have perfect pitch, which is like, you know, if someone plays a note and you go, oh, that's an A. But on the flute, that exists for me. So I won't think about what note I'm playing, but I just know the sound. So anyone can play a chord and I'll know straight away what I want to play on top of that, and it'll just come out, you know, and I know how to get the ugly sounds and the pretty sounds and what I want out of it. So in that sense, yeah, I would definitely say it's my voice.
You have one song that you're going to play acoustically here in the Bamboo Room. Mm. Do you want to go ahead and play that? And tell us about this song and the name of it and anything else you want to.
Great. Well, it's kind of a fresh song, so it doesn't have a name yet. It's one that I mucked around with a little bit a long time ago at home and never kind of got back to. And once I came here and I saw all these amazing snow-capped mountains everywhere, I was so inspired. I was like, no, this is the time. This is it. So it doesn't have a name yet. Maybe I should figure out one of the names of the mountains.
Well, the big one's Lambourne.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we'll call this one Lambourne. I've been actually experimenting with writing it for flute choir and having bass flutes and piccolos and things going through it, but I guess this is the solo version today.
Yeah.
Bye.
So the song doesn't have a name, but it surely has a feel.
For me, it's definitely a, like, looking out at the mountains kind of song. Spaciousness and just kind of awe of the natural world. I like Lambourne.
Do you have an objective while you're staying elsewhere? What are you hoping for at the end of your stay here?
Yeah. For me, there were kind of, like, four main projects that I was working on that I wanted to have an opportunity to really get stuck into. So I've got two recording projects I've been working on, and I'm also spending some time meeting the locals and recording stories for one of my projects. I'm developing, this has been something that's been in the works for about a year, and I've just haven't had the chance to get really stuck into it. I'd experimented with it a lot, but I'm really interested in how explicit music can be. This project, rather than being like I'm getting stories and then accompanying it with music, the music really comes out of the language, out of the tones in the voice, out of the rhythms in the voice, and I'm very explicitly building my composition out of those speech patterns. Mm-hmm. So that's been really cool, meeting people in town and hearing some amazing stories.
You mentioned you're a composer.
Mm-hmm.
Have you always written your own music? Talk to me about what composing is for you.
I think it's an expression. It's something that I've always loved to do. I remember being about 3 years old and waking up too early, and Mum was like, go back to bed. I can't deal with you right now. So I went back to my bedroom and I wrote a song all about, I think it was like somebody wanting to call up their lover and not having the phone picked up or something. You know, something really from my life experience as a, you know, 3-year-old. And at about 7 a.m. I went back and went, okay, I'm waking you up now. I'm going to sing you this song. When I went to university, I wanted to study jazz and composition, and I played a few instruments through school, but sort of the flute kind of stuck. And when I was interested in going to university, I was actually told at the open day, no, you can't do jazz, you can't do improvisation. It's, if you do flute, it's classical only. And just being as silly and impressionable as I was like, okay. So I did the classical course, but I was always, and I actually loved it, and I'm really glad that that's the first path that I took. But yeah, when I was in the practice room, people would always know it was me because I'd be mucking around writing things, or, you know, I'd be trying to learn an orchestral excerpt, and next minute I'm like, oh, well, it's really cool when I add this like little rhythm to it, and then this other thing happens. So I was always exploring, I think, or mucking around on the piano, writing pop songs, or yeah. So it's something I've always done. But I hit a point maybe about 2 years ago. I went to Banff, and it was a real turning point for me because I was starting to get, I think, just a little bit too comfortable, and just really shook things up for me. And, you know, I started to wonder a little bit, like, is it enough for me to just make music that people have fun with? Which is great. Like, I love to do that. But I was like, surely there's something more. You know, as a musician, I think that an artist, you have a responsibility to reflect the times and to have something to say, you know. So I think that social aspect of music is really important to me. And it was great for me to have a chance to really reflect on that and think about how that fit in with my practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I started this, like, I call it my manifesto project, where there's like 12 totally different projects. And I'm not working on them all at once, just ticking them off as I go. And all of these projects I'm working on now are part of that. But yeah, the idea is that every single project engages in some way socially, but also that it pushes me in a really different direction, or forces me to work with someone new, or, you know, collaborate in a different way, or use a new medium. Or so it's really about kind of pushing my boundaries and hopefully connecting on a really deep level with people, I hope.
Yeah. The last album that you put out was called Bella Wolf. I've never heard flute playing music like that before. It was just so different. It was beyond jazz. What genres of music do you feel are in your compositions?
It's kind of a cliche thing that a lot of musicians will say, but there's, I guess, just with the way the world is these days, with the internet and whatever, there's a lot that gets put into stuff. And whatever you listen to, I think, often ends up becoming part of your vocabulary. So yeah, there's definitely, I mean, particularly at the time when I released that, I was super into like the New York jazz scene and what was coming out of there. But I also, you know, had a big love of Latin music, and there's, you know, there's a history of Latin flute players. So I think that was, you know, a starting point for me musically. But I also, you know, I come from Melbourne. We've got a great, you know, neo-soul scene and a great hip-hop scene and a great kind of like jazzy, housey kind of scene. And I think all of that, you know, I play in all sorts of bands as well, in classical stuff sometimes, orchestral stuff, in hip-hop stuff, in electronic stuff, in big Latin bands. So it all smushes together, I think, somehow. Just naturally, yeah.
I love that you can be in so many different projects. I'm sure it's a lot of effort to be in different kinds. But what a unique position to be in, where you can step into this genre or that and get to experiment in different ways.
Yeah, it's like I love being able to do that and step in and out of different things. And you have to learn a little bit about the history of different styles and what's come before to really pay homage or work within that kind of framework. But if you also have a strong enough sense of your own musical ideas, I think that you can bring that with you kind of wherever you go. And, you know, maybe as a flute player, I'm kind of lucky. The flute doesn't have the same lineage as other instruments in a lot of styles, you know. Traditionally, particularly like jazz music, for example, you know, maybe in like the 60s or 70s, we started to see a few flute players once, you know, microphones made that possible. But it really doesn't have the same, you know, you don't really hear, you know, if you think of bebop players, you know, instantly there's not going to be necessarily a flute player that comes to mind. So I think in some ways that can work to my advantage, because people don't always have expectations. You can find your own way to work within a style.
Yeah, there's maybe more flexibility.
Yeah.
Do you know Jethro Tull?
Yeah.
And of course, Ian Anderson. I'm sitting here trying to think who else, like what other flute players do I know? So it's really cool to talk with you about an instrument that I know little about. Mm. I just love what you're doing with it and that you're not pigeonholed into one specific genre.
Yeah. I think I've always fought against that a little bit. Because it's very easy, particularly, you know, as a flute player, to just be like, oh, okay, you just do classical music.
Mm-hmm. What's evolved for you from your last album, Bella Wolf, to these new tracks that you've brought in today for us?
Okay, they're very different. I don't know, have you listened to them?
Yeah, to me they're very cinematic.
Yeah.
I'm like, when am I going to hear this on the next Netflix show I'm binge watching?
I've had a few people say that, yeah. These particular tracks, the approach was really different. I've stolen a couple of tracks from two of the albums that I'm working on at the moment. The first thing that I did when we hit the studio was I, you know, kind of got a dream team together. I hoped to have more women in there, but there was actually a bunch of events that were like specifically female musician events that were happening in Melbourne on that day. So I couldn't get any other women. But I pulled together this absolute dream team. I asked people who were real mentors to me, kind of thinking, well, everyone said yes. And the approach was very much one of improvisation. I wanted to know what would happen if we went in the studio just with nothing planned and what would come out of that. And that was really scary for me because, you know, you pay a lot of money to go to the studio and there's a lot invested there. And we had, you know, I had a couple of plays with the musicians. I kind of went on this thing where I was basically just hooking up with musicians all over Melbourne. Anyone that I was like, I've never played with you or I'd like to play with you more. I just organized a bunch of jams and then out of that kind of pieced together who I thought would work well together and connect well. I wrote a couple of sketches just to, I guess, come up with a bit of an aesthetic for the band so that they had an idea of the direction that I wanted to take. But it was the most beautiful day. And it was so nice afterwards. All the musicians the next day were calling me going, oh, this was such a nice experience. And I thought, great. That's, you know, I think it's really important to have a good vibe in the studio. So, you know, we did a little bit of meditating. David Jones, who plays the percussion and drums, in that recording session. Ugh, he's amazing. Yeah, look him up, David Jones drums. But yeah, he's very in touch with meditation and improvisation, and works a lot with like sound baths as well, and healing in music through music. So he was great to have in the studio. He'd be like, okay, I think we should just, you know, meditate on this theme, or just, it was such a beautiful place to come from making music. So that was kind of the recording day and the approach that day. And it was a nightmare going through it afterwards because there was so much stuff in there. I was like, ah. But I very much wanted to keep everything to sort of radio-friendly time, so 5 minutes or under. That was kind of the only – I wanted every piece to have its own story and to be under 5 minutes. They were the only criteria I gave everyone. And then we did some really long ones that I chopped up later as well. So that was the first album. But then out of that session, I am working with the producer, Sam Swain, on the second album. The idea basically is that we're stealing things from that recording and using them either as samples or, you know, just warping the sounds and messing with the sounds a bit to create the second album. So everything on the second album is from the original recording session, but is very much, the process is built in post-production. So we've written whole songs based on stuff that we've, you know, taken from the first recording.
Both of these albums have not been released yet.
Not yet. No, I'm still fine-tuning. The second album is a lot more kind of, there's a lot more like beat-based kind of stuff, a lot more electronic. I really wanted to embrace, you know, the process and the genre in post-production. And then the first one is a lot more, it's almost like ECM-like, you know, really beautiful, cinematic often. It's been really fun piecing that in together to tell, you know, an overarching story over the course of the album as well that makes sense.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I don't know anyone else who's doing something quite like this. Which album are those tracks from that you sent me?
Yeah, what did I send you?
Pink Mix.
Well, that's a really interesting one. That's from the first album, but it's got a mix of stuff. So that one, I really did embrace the post-production process. It's got an excerpt from something that we played on the day, but it's also got an excerpt of a different track that's kind of reversed and smooshed together, and I've then thrown some other instruments from other recorded bits on top. So that's one that I've really built in post-production. I've been working with the producer, Lachlan Wooden, who's a total whiz. He recorded the full day in the studio, and we've been mixing the album together as well.
Let's take a listen to Pink Mix, aka Untitled.
Thank you.
That was an unreleased track from Erica Tucheri. You're listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton, and I'm talking with Erica about her music and how she composes songs using existing music from some of her other records. You sent me another song called SPD, something about speed dating.
When I worked on the second album, we had a couple of days where we were speed dating, and we would just come up with ideas and be like, this is speed date one, here's the idea, boom, this is speed date two, here's, and we, you know, set like a half hour time limit. So everything's named a speed date at the moment.
Okay, so speed date 15. Talk a little bit about this track.
Great. So this is one that I've been working on with Sam Swain for the second album, and I guess it's very inspired by the sort of Nils Frahm kind of aesthetic. In the recording studio, we really worked on, I really wanted to get like a close mic'd piano sound for all our tracks. And I really wanted to capture all the internal sounds. And the piano that we were playing on was this beautiful, like really old upright German piano that just had so much character and all these really interesting resonances and creaks. And so I was, yeah, super excited to capture that. This particular track, we basically just stole a couple of notes and morphed them into different pitches and made a round out of it. Yeah, I really love the mood and the aesthetic of it. Yeah.
Well, we'll take a listen to Speed Date 15. This one's going to be off the second album. That was another pre-release from Melbourne musician and composer Erica Tucheri. I'm Corey Stanton, and you're tuned in to Talkin' Music on KVNF. We'll get right back to the interview. Stay tuned. The other track you sent over was called Opening Blues.
Yeah.
Is this you on the piano?
No, this track has Harry Cook on the piano and David Jones on drums and me on flute. But the pink mix had Joel Trigg on the piano. So I actually had two different pianists coming in and out of the studio for the recording day. The opening blues, this was just an improvisation and it was a lot of fun.
You are playing flute on this.
Yes, though. I am playing flute. Yeah.
Cool. Let's take a listen to Opening Blues. And is this off the first album?
Yeah, this is the second track off the first album. Thank you.
Sounds like you've got a lot of different projects going on. It would be really cool to see how your music evolves. I'd love to stay in touch with you and hear the outcome of these two albums that you're going to... Are you going to release them simultaneously?
I haven't decided yet. I want to try and chat to some labels and see what they like, basically. So I'm just, just wait and see at the moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With everything going on, what's next for you?
After this, I'm just going to hang out with some friends in New York for a bit and soak up that energy, which is always pretty wild. And then I'm off to Europe for a little bit. And I'm going to be playing some gigs and doing some recording in London, which should be really fun, with a project called, and you have to be ready for this one, the Zeitgeist Freedom Energy Exchange, or ZFEX for short. They're really, really fun. He's a great drummer from Melbourne, from a band called 3070, which are doing really big things at the moment. Yeah, so I'm spending the next few months sort of doing a lot of writing and listening and some gigs in Europe, yeah.
And where can our listeners find your music and keep up to date with everything you have going on?
Probably my website is the safest place, ericatucherry.com. But I've got Instagram and that biz as well. But all the albums and the CDs, whenever that happens, that's all up on the website. And I tend to keep my gigs pretty updated there too. So,
well, thank you so much for stopping by KBNF and giving us a little performance here in the Bamboo Room.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to Talkin' Music here on KBNF. I'm Corey Stanton. Be sure to check out our website at kbnf.org for a direct link to Erica Tucherry's website. And to hear more interviews with musicians, click on Talkin' Music. Thanks so much for listening.